This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
And here we go with the post-show podcast, post-game podcast. It's a podcast, podcast jackass. What's up?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. So yesterday I was in a doctor's office. I was taking a patient. I took my day off to take a patient, Jerry, to the doctor's.
Didn't you have your rectum checked?
I did not have anything checked, so which was a good feeling. It was nice to
yes.
go to a doctor's office and not have my rectum checked or anything.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking that we still, in this era of privacy and HIPAA laws, there still is a lot that goes on in the doctor's office waiting room that doesn't feel...
private?
Yeah.
All right, give me an example.
Right from the start, when you get there and you go up to the doctor, they ask you what you're here for.
Really?
Yeah, because I think what they want to do is, especially like I was in a surgery center. You know, where they do, yeah. not a hospital, so they're small surgeries.
Yep.
So I think because of many years ago, they were amputating the wrong legs off of people. Now they like ask you a million times what you're there for. So they can, there's a many verifications. So they ask you that and you're in the waiting room with all these other people. I heard everybody, what everybody
really?
Was there for. Then they ask for, they say, okay, who's driving you home?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is their phone number? Now, if I were a crazy person, because I thought about this, I could have wrote down everybody's phone number.
Absolutely.
And then as soon as their patient went in, I could have texted them, things not looking good. You know what I mean? They would have, I'd say, oh, I'm at the, hi, this is Billy with the, I'm a nursing assistant
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And then I get everybody's phone numbers.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to do that, I guess you could do that, yes.
Yeah.
That is true.
I don't like that.
I have not been to a surgery center in a while. I know my doctor's office, they do not do that. I tell them on the phone what I'm going in for.
Yeah.
And then you just go in, you check in, sign in, and that's it. But I haven't been to a surgery center, so I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, when I went for my hernias, I guess, and colonoscopies, yes, similar thing, but...
Hi, I'm Al Dukes. I'm here to have my ass sculpted.
Right.
What?
Huh? we got the ass sculpers in the waiting room. Let's go. It just doesn't feel private.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally understand.
The other places where I think you have lack of privacy, where there should be full privacy, is at a pharmacy.
Yes, depending upon the medicine you're getting, for sure.
Right, because I've heard them go... yeah, picking up prescription for Dukes. Okay, and they're looking for it. They go, what was it for? But what if it was for like a
genital warts?
Yeah. What if it was for Viagra? What if it was for VD medicine? What if it was for Zoloft or Prozac? I don't want to yell out what I'm getting my medicine for.
Not great. Not great. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm sure you've heard this once, twice, or a thousand times. I hit the golf ball off a tree and hit myself in the face.
It did hit your head, yeah. I heard
it. So I ended up at the hospital for stitches.
Yeah.
They did it in the hallway. I mean, you want to talk about lack of privacy? Now, in fairness to them, they did tell me they were very busy and it was going to be a very long time, or they could probably do it right there much quicker. It was up to me. I said, I don't care who's watching, just do it.
Yeah.
But... the fact that that's an option
yes.
is hilarious to me.
And, like, what if it was your scrotal sack? You wouldn't have done that in the hallway.
No, I would not have.
Even if they gave you the option.
Yeah, I would not have. You're not kidding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was very unprivate for me.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And then they leave you there. It's like you're just sitting there, stitches in your face. Yeah. Oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Can I go now? Yeah, but I've noticed that, like, they ask you so many times throughout the process of why you're here.
Yeah.
And what are we doing for you today? Oh, you're doing my
hernia. I do like that part of it, though.
Yeah.
So that they know exactly what they're doing and on what body part they're doing it on.
Yes.
Because there are probably millions of surgeries done every month. I get that. And the one time, and which one too many, the one time they take the wrong leg off, it's obviously a huge story.
Yeah.
That having been said, if we can avoid that one time by asking a couple of extra questions, that's fine by me.
And I remember even when I went for my hernia surgery, when they did that, they go, what are we here for? The hernia surgery. Okay. And which side? Right side. Okay. Let's mark that. And they would put an X right by my, where they're going to do the hernia surgery. So they really, they're leaving nothing. You know why? Because there's so many people involved.
That's a bad one, though. What if the doctor then says, ooh, an X, not this side?
Oh, I thought the X meant,
don't touch this side. It's the other side.
Right. Right.
We're going to get to the point where they're going to take a Sharpie. Cut here.
Yeah. Not here on all my other body parts.
Oh, my God.
So you come out of there with all Sharpie marker written all
over
you.
It's too funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. Then while I was in the and waiting for the patient, Jerry, I had a lot of time to read social media and read things. You know, I was killing time.
Yeah.
And a number of people sent this to me, and I wanted to get your take on it. So John Cougar Mellencamp, or John Mellencamp, as he goes by now for many years, he's restarted his tour.
Okay.
This is the same tour I went to. It's the same show. He's doing the same songs. He's telling the same stories.
Right.
So he was in Toledo, Ohio. Now, it was St. Patrick's Day, which I think does have something to do with this. It was St. Patrick's Day was Sunday. It was Sunday night concert. So you imagine some people may have been drinking all day.
Mm-hmm.
So he's at a point in the show where he's talking. Now, I've been to this show. He does not talk politics. But he's telling a story of his grandmother when she was dying. When he was a kid, he would lay in the bed with her and she would, you know, give him life advice and things. And there's a lyric in the song, which he's about to perform, which is, life is short, even in our longest days. That's the point of the story. So as he's telling the story, someone in the crowd yells, shut up and play a song.
That's funny.
He is an ornery guy.
I'm sure he didn't take well to it.
John Mellencamp is an ornery guy. I think he tried to ignore it.
Right.
And then somebody else, maybe the same person, yelled, play Authority song. And he went, you know what? Show's over. Left.
Really?
Walks out. People didn't know what to do. So I guess they find the guy who did this, and they get him thrown out. He eventually came back, but he wasn't going to. He said show's over and left. Some people did get up and leave.
Right.
And the response, so I wanted to see the reaction on Twitter. So I went to the articles that were posted, and then I wanted to look at the amount of people that sided with the heckler.
Wow.
Was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
And this wasn't Trump Biden. This was a story about the song.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
Hey, we suck as a society.
When the only time he did a political talk was about how both sides suck right now. And
I'm with him.
That was it.
Yeah.
But under the comments was like, they're right. We're not here. We didn't come here to hear you talk. Just play your music. Aren't you there for the stories about the songs
and the artist
as well?
Yeah, it's all because otherwise, just play an album then.
Right.
I mean, if that's the case, play an album, put a couple of people up there and make it like a show. But you're part of that. I don't need them to talk for a half hour.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But I like when they interact with the crowd in between like every third or fourth song. The last concert I went to is the only reason I referenced it was the Pink concert. And I would say like every four or five or six songs, and she played like 20 songs, and she probably interacted with the crowd like four times. And each time it was like a minute. It was nothing crazy.
Yeah.
She told the story of her father who, as she was, I forget her first song. God damn, I can't think about it. So I'm a rock star. You know that song. But whatever. So What? I think that's the name of the song. So
yes.
What? I'm a rock star. So I guess that was her first big hit. And she tells the story how, like, a few years into her career, when she's really hit it big, her dad's like, you know, you've done well, but you really need, like that song. And she's like, yeah, Dad, So What? It went to number one. And the crowd laughs, and then she goes right into the song. I think that's great when you give a little backstory. For people to side with Shut Up and Play a Song, that stinks.
Yeah. In fact, I've been to shows where, like, I think when I saw the Lemonheads in Asbury Park, mm-hmm. I loved the Lemonheads.
Okay.
I don't think that guy talked, Evan Dando. I don't think he just went song to song, and I was like, I like to hear a
little
something.
Listen a little something.
Something.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's just weird. Like, I don't know if this is just a social media thing where people want to come to the defense of the people clearly in the wrong. And I don't know why. What about social media is it that you want to defend the person clearly in the wrong?
Well, I think the bigger question is, why are people so free to speak out on social media? And that's obvious. There's no recourse.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, aside from people attacking you on social media, and God help you if you actually have to delete an account, but you're anonymous for the most part. We can't be, but most people are relatively anonymous on social media. You can say whatever the hell you want to say. And even if people yell at you, so what? Delete. And it's over. You go on with your life. For people that are affected by it, it sucks. It really does. But I really think that's the answer.
Yeah, and what's funny is, like, if you're at the concert and John Mellencamp leaves and you've paid for your ticket.
All right, kick that guy's ass.
Yes.
Like, he just ruined the night.
Yeah.
And there's, I do believe, too, there's a fine line between, you know, interacting a little bit here and there and talking way too much.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like talking way too much at all.
No. He was just talking about some of the songs, playing some of the songs, his hit songs, his non-hit songs.
We also and we also have no attention span as a society.
Yeah.
We don't.
But I thought, like, John Mellencamp is 70 years old, 71 years old.
Does he need this?
And who's at those shows? You should not be the type, like, that should be a show of old people that's not yelling at the artist.
You would think.
That's why I'm wondering if St. Patrick's Day
brings out the best in people.
Yeah, like, was this guy just drinking all day long and then got to the John Mellencamp show?
It's possible. But then again, people are drinking in the parking lot before these concerts anyway.
Yeah, right. You know, that's true.
Maybe more because it's St. Patrick's Day. Maybe instead of 70% of the crowd drinking, maybe it's 90%. But you're still going to have dumb, drunk kids and adults at these. When I say kids, 20-year-olds and, 20-year-olds, not 21. That are still doing stupid things, but that stinks.
Yeah.
Especially with how much tickets cost.
Yes.
Like, God, come on. You know, Kelly Clarkson's in Atlantic City on May 9th and 10th, I think, or 10th and 11th,
Borgata.
I forget. You can't get a ticket for less than $400.
I do not.
You got to be kidding.
I do not understand what is going on.
I don't either. Because not only that, if you want to then stay at the Hard Rock where she's playing, the room's $500. So the room's $500. The tickets are $400 each. So we're at $1,300. Go out to dinner, a few drinks. You're talking a night in Atlantic City is $1,700.
Yes.
You got, I mean, come on. What?
Right, for one night.
No thanks.
And then someone yells at her and she leaves the stage.
You never know.
Play Since You've Been Gone. We're going to get to it.
The way you do that actually sounds very funny.
It's so great. Oh. Shut up and play a song. Oh, man. Ooh, that John Mellencamp, he's an order of fella, Jerry.
Oh, man.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I found a cool YouTube page you might be interested in.
Okay.
It's called Top 2000 A-Go-Go.
Okay.
But it's a it's a page on an account on YouTube where they talk to artists about a particular song of theirs.
Okay.
Like looking back on it. And it's really interesting. They have such a wide variety. The one that caught me because it was just in my suggestions. And then after I watched it, I was like, let me see what else they do on this channel. Mm. But it's all that. It was the Crash Test Dummies.
Of the mm-mm song or whatever it's called?
Mm-mm song. But they talked to the guy now about the song. And it was really interesting. And then I was like, oh, what other ones did they do? And they have such a wide variety of artists. And if they don't have the singer who did it, they really talk to the person who wrote it.
Oh, okay. More so than just the artist.
Yeah, so sometimes it's not the artist. Sometimes it's the person who wrote it. But that guy, he said he wrote the song and he cut the demo like that and gave it to the band and said, I have all the verses. I need a chorus for where I put mm-mm-mm. And they go, this is great. Let's just leave it like this.
Really?
Yeah.
And then so that was supposed to be more words.
Yeah, he did. He wrote the verses first about they're all
once. Yeah, there was this boy who. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're all stories about. I forget how he put it, but they're all linked. These stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he didn't know what the chorus would be, so he was hoping the band would.
And the band went with no. The chorus is perfect.
Yeah, they're like, you know, this kind of sounds good like this.
Did they ever do anything else?
They had a song with Superman in the title. The name Superman in the title.
All right.
They had one or two.
One or two.
Yeah.
And what was this called again?
This is the thing on YouTube is Top 2000 A-Go-Go.
A-Go-Go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I saw a bunch on there. And they were about 7 minutes long.
Okay. Oh, perfect length.
Yeah, perfect length.
Perfect length.
And there's all sorts of genres. There's from classic rock to alternative to country to... I watched the one Arrested Development talking about Mr. Wendell.
Oh, really?
Mr. Wendell.
Yeah.
Mr. Wendell was a homeless man who used to hang out by the studio and impart wisdom on them.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what Mr. Wendell's about.
How about that?
Yeah. But that's I saw, like, fun. There's the one, I haven't watched it yet, but there's Phil Collins talking about In the Air Tonight.
Yes.
Because, you know, everyone thinks that song is about Phil Collins seeing a man drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And doing nothing about it.
Right.
When I know that's not what the song is about, but I bet you can get Mr. Phil Collins explaining the song.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
I'm trying to fix the one that I had for you, and I watched half of it.
What is it?
I can't. For some reason, it's not coming up on my phone. Because you know how when you're in the middle of one, it will sit there?
Yeah.
For some reason, yes. This is not sitting there, and I don't know why, but it's another one. It's so funny because I watched one on why the Mediterranean diet is by far and away the best diet if your European heritage is European based. It goes into all the reasons why you should lighten up on meat and why you should. And then the next one that I watched, and I wanted to send you this because you would think that steak is the miracle drug.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I don't know.
I saw one very similar yesterday.
This guy is talking about how he has been in the best shape of his life. His back pain went from a 9 to a 1. His daughter had a baby. She couldn't stand up. She'd be in bed crying. She starts eating meat and she feels great. And this other guy, 61, he went from 300 pounds to 190. He's jacked and it's all about eating. I'm like, I just watched one that told me to ease up on the beef, good Mediterranean, and then this one's like meat, meat, meat. What?
The meat thing, Jerry, that's the new CBD oil. It cures everything. It's CBD and meat. I think if you have any problems in your life, if you eat meat and rub CBD lotion on you, you're going to be fine.
Optimum health.
Yeah, optimum health.
Oh, my God. And then I get an advertisement. I got to tell you, it was a good one. I almost bought it. And maybe I will. It's this olive oil that is supposed to be the new wonder drug.
Ooh, okay.
That, yes, you can cook with it.
Put it on your meat.
You can put it on your meat, sprinkle it on your salad. But they recommend you do a shot of olive oil every morning to start your day.
Oh, is that right?
Of this specific olive oil. This way you know you're getting the one table, you know, the one, the
teaspoon?
The proper amount.
Okay.
The proper amount of table that you're supposed to, and you just do the shot when you wake up, drink your water, shot of olive oil, on your way. And then, oh, by the way, don't eat for 3 days because I want you to fast for seven. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah. And I'm like, I was reading it and how they've enhanced the olive oil and it's the best olive. I'm like, I could see myself doing that. And then I lost track and didn't. But I was like, the meat thing is just like fascinating to me.
Meat is the new one, is the new miracle drug.
And then, oh, that was the other thing. He's like, yeah, you know, I figured, I knew I had to do something a little bit more than meat. So, you know, I mixed in an apple. And he goes, day one, no problem. Day two, I was all right. Day three, I realized the apple's killing me. I'm like, what? Apple.
I know.
Hey, come on. It's funny. It really is. It's mesmerizing, but it's funny. I don't even know how to take it anymore.
I don't either. It's very confusing because I follow all of these, what I guess I would call ingredients influencers.
Yeah, sure.
On like Instagram. So there are people that will tell you what are the good ingredients, what are bad, what to look for in the ingredients list. So a lot of them or talk about the same things, right? So it's pretty consistent. And they're all in good shape and da-da-da-da. So one showed up in my feed of a woman who was heavyset. And here's my Costco haul. Here's my... And it's all the things that I've seen that I've been eating for a long time. She's still heavy. So I was bored yesterday in the waiting room. I DM'd her.
Come on.
No, I tried to do it in a nice way.
Okay.
I just said, hey. I said, hey, I just found your Instagram. Thank you for sharing all of these clean finds.
Right.
How long, this is how I did it, Jerry. I go, how long have you been on your journey of clean eating?
Right.
She goes, since 2020.
Oh, boy.
Then I was like, oh, my gosh.
4 years.
Yeah. So now what? Because everybody I've been following for 2 years now looks great. Eating the same food she's eating.
Yeah. The only thing you could say is either, there's only one of two answers.
Yeah.
One, she's not, and she's just trying to be an influencer to make money.
Okay.
Which to me is probably the most logical. The other would be there are, and I've watched enough of these things now where they say everybody's body is different and reacts differently to the amount you eat. And like, there are some people that will say, it doesn't matter how much of this you eat, you'll be fine because you're eating good food.
Meat, Jerry.
Meat. A lot of steak. Perhaps for her, I don't know. Maybe she's still consuming 5,000 calories a day.
Right.
Good or bad, it's still 5,000 calories. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Now, her husband, I saw before and after him, he looks like he lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
He had a classic, like the big, giant belly. So, and if they're both eating the same things, I don't know what's...
Well, something ain't working for her.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, she's had a couple kids, so is that... Throw your body off and for
how long? Hello.
Yeah, right.
A couple of kids does throw your body off.
Kids shooting at you, yeah.
But usually you rebound years later.
Yeah.
Especially if you're eating like that for 4 years. I can't get through 4 months. She did 4 years.
Yeah.
If she did.
Right.
That's the other thing. She could be sneaking Oreos at night. Who knows? Eat
right,
great all day. Then you go eat 8 Oreos at the end of the night and you shove 600 calories down your throat of sugar and crap and it ruins everything you did all day.
Yeah.
So it's confusing. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to follow her journey, Jerry.
All right. Very good. You should start your own meat journey. Al's meat journey.
I'm just eating meat from here on out.
And beating it daily.
I'm going to beat my meat, eat my meat.
It's so funny, man.
And then do a meet and greet.
I'm such a dope.
Yeah. I'm telling you, those meat people.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, it's YouTube is an interesting place. It really is. You can find everything from losing 80% of your body fat overnight by eating meat to paying off your mortgage, even though you don't make enough money to do it in 4 months, to where you can save up $7 million
right.
with the money you make today. I mean, it's just...
I love the ones who go, me and my wife, I make $42,000 a year. My wife makes $48,000. We paid off $300,000 in debt. In the past 2 years. How did you do that?
You didn't. You went into bankruptcy on everything else.
What?
Oh, that reminded me. I wanted to bring this up. I know we got to go. So my son turns his ankle late December, December 29th. I try to go to a couple of different places for x-rays because it was a holiday weekend. I think it was a Friday. None of them were open, and I was forced to go to the hospital. Okay. there for 4 hours. Now, keep this in the back of your mind. Never once saw a doctor. They checked us in. We saw a nurse practitioner. They took him for x-rays. The same practitioner looked at the x-rays with us, said everything's fine, but you got to see a doctor because there's no break, but something's clearly wrong. It's all swollen. Okay, fine. We get our bill, I would say, first week of February. Now, the insurance picks up a lot, obviously, but we still owed $800. $400 went to a doctor that we never saw. Then this was to this person, this was to this person. So Kim sends 50% when we get the first bill. Of course, it says due upon receipt, but we just got the bill, and it was a big one. She sends half. I get a letter in the mail yesterday. Not another bill. Letter in the mail. We've sent this to collection for your delinquent account. What? You sent one bill. We sent you 50%, and it wasn't a $50 bill.
Right.
And they sent us to collection.
Damn.
So I'm like, I'm like, you can write the check out. That's fine. I'm like, I'm writing a letter. So I didn't. I was going to call, but I'm like, that's not fair because God knows what I'm going to say.
Maybe yell at the person.
So I wrote a mock letter to where they had my name and my address. I put customer service in quotes and their address. And where it said, Dear Mr. Echo, it said, Dear Customer Service. And I copied, like I mocked everything they wrote and just said, Your customer service stinks. This was comical, blah, 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 blah. But that's rude, though.
Very rude.
And if you go to the hospital and you don't have insurance, they still have to take care of you. And they don't pay. Meantime, right. We had no problem paying. Can you give us two bills? That's not right.
Normally, you get to divide stuff up at least into four bills.
This was one, yeah. Apparently. It really pissed me off, though.
Yeah, especially since you're paying for a doctor you didn't even see.
I put that in the note.
Yeah.
I wrote something like, it's bad enough that I'm paying this amount of money for a doctor that we never saw. And I put in quotes, we saw a nurse practitioner. I said, but your quote unquote customer service is an atrocity. And I went on to say how one bill, we paid you half. I mean, God damn.
They code those things. So it's like, I know they're trying to get the insurance money. So they're like, you saw this doctor. No, but we didn't.
No, we didn't. And I don't know what you do about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because attending doctor, you know what he was doing? He was attending to someone having a heart attack on the fourth floor, not a 13-year-old that turned his ankle. But they billed us for him.
Right.
Terrible. And I'm sure they can come back and say, well, he looked at the x-ray.
Yeah, exactly.
It's terrible.
We emailed it to him, so you kind of saw him.
Right, exactly.
All right, Jerry, warm up.